So why do we read the word of God out loud in our service? And why do we have a sermon? You may have never questioned why we read the Bible, the word of God, in our services. But I expect you may have questioned why we have sermons. Sermons don't generally get a good press. And we've all had experience, let's face it, of good and bad sermons. But there is a purpose to them, and I hope we'll see that as I go through. So, as Bridget said, we've been looking for the last few weeks at the different parts of our service and how they fit together. We've looked at confession, we've looked at the sacrament of Holy Communion, we're going to look at the intercessory prayers, and we've looked at the dismissal. And today we're going to look at what part the Word of God and the sermon plays in our service. And at this point, I'd like to draw an analogy with a cake. This is a very wonderful, gooey cake, which I hope you'll enjoy at the end of the service. So if nothing else, you're going to get some cake out of this. Now, a cake, for those of you who are familiar with making cakes, involves flour and sugar and fat and eggs and a flavouring of some sort. It could be strawberry, it could be jam, or in this case, a lot of lemon icing. Now, you can actually make a cake without one of those ingredients. You don't have to have each of those ingredients. And believe it or not, and I Googled it and the internet said so, you can make a cake without flour or without butter or eggs or sugar or your filling, but you obviously can't ignore all of them, but you can miss out one. So our service is like a cake. It's made up of ingredients. But the question is, can we leave out any of the components of our service any components in the complete service? We can leave out singing, we can leave out a sermon, which perish the thought, put me out of a job. We can do without prayers, but what we can't do without is the Bible. The Bible is the foundation of our service. So why do I say that? And I'm going to give you three examples of why I think we have the Bible reading and have it read out loud in our service. And the first short answer is, Jesus did. And our gospel reading this morning has Jesus coming along to the synagogue, as he usually does, as is his custom, and he is handed the scroll. Now, you are handed the scroll if you are a respected member of your synagogue, and you can choose the passage that you want to read from a prophet. And this morning, we had Jesus choosing a passage from Isaiah. And then afterwards, he preached on it. And that was the way the services were formed. They started with prayers, you had a fixed reading from the law, you had a reading from the prophet, and then you had a sermon after that. So we're doing exactly the same as Jesus did. Now, Jesus was following on from the Jewish tradition, but it hadn't always been so in the Jewish services. The practice of reading out scripture began with Moses on Mount Sinai, and he understood very well the importance of scriptures being kept alive through regular reading and repetition. This tradition continued for a while. It got dropped, picked up again, dropped, but after the exile, and the Jews coming back from Babylon, it became a regular feature. And in the book of Nehemiah, we have the practice of Ezra with others to read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the meaning. So that's a pattern. The word of God read, followed by an interpretation and an application. Thirdly, St. Paul. He tells us we need to read the scriptures publicly and to receive sound teaching. And he instructs Timothy, who's a young Gentile church leader, that he needs to give sound teaching and to read the gospel, read the scriptures regularly. Now, Paul knows from the history of the Israelites that neglecting the reading of the scriptures leads to a loss of identity and common purpose. And he also understands that for the non-Jews, they need to learn about the Hebrew scriptures. And for the Jewish converts, they need to understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures. But it's not just the scriptures Paul asks to be read out. He tells Timothy, he tells the Colossians and the Thessalonians that the letters that he has written to them should be read out to the congregation. I suppose a bit like our bishop writing to us and saying, read out this particular letter, and later on we're going to have a prayer the bishop has asked to be read out. But why do we read the scriptures? St. Paul tells us because the scripture, all scripture, is inspired by God. St. Paul is writing about the Hebrew scriptures that we call the Old Testament. They had been accepted by the Jewish people as divinely inspired. A few hundred years later, the books and letters of the New Testament were agreed as the divinely inspired testament of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And we believe that these human writers of the Old and the New Testament were inspired by God and moved by the Holy Spirit to record the working out of God's purpose for humankind. But do we still need to have them read out in church today? We could just spend the time reading quietly to ourselves, and we could put on headphones and have podcasts or whatever. But it does matter. The public reading of Scripture matters. It matters because it was and is still a public declaration of God's self-revelation to humankind. It's the moment in the service when we hear words inspired by God spoken directly to us. If we believe that the Bible is the word of God, then hearing God's word read aloud is the most exciting part of the service. So forget the sermon, forget the cake. This is the real thing. To hear someone read the word is a different experience than to simply read silently to ourselves. It can be a quiet and reflective time when we don't have the phones or distractions. We're entirely focused on the word of God, and we're entirely focused on listening to God's voice in our lives. Has this passage of scripture in any way touched our hearts? Is there a word or a phrase? Is there something in this reading that's speaking to me today? As well as a communal activity, I think the public reading of scripture is meant to encourage us to read ourselves, to read at the end of the service on a day-by-day basis. It's good not to be too ambitious, but I think Bridget and the team have put together a very wonderful Advent reflection book. Here's a copy. And this is a good little starter for the rest of the week. The Advent book has a verse of scripture for every day of Advent, plus a little commentary from 25 different people in the congregation. So lots of different voices, lots of interest. This is the kind of thing that I think is immensely helpful to all of us, to keep the Bible in our daily lives. But not just in the written form, but also in our social media platforms. I don't know about you, but when I open Facebook, I'm bombarded with advertisements for all sorts of things I haven't asked about. How about opening up your Facebook or your emails and being bombarded by scriptural messages? There are lots of different platforms. There are apps and so on that you could sign up to. And it would mean when you open your computer, when you open your phone first thing in the morning, you get a message from God straight there. So instead of having all these buzz feeds and all the different things that happen to us, start your day with some brilliant little piece of scripture, come straight to your phone, straight to your computer. But above all, when we're listening to scripture being read out loud, when we're listening to the preaching of the sermon, let's have hearts that are open to change, open to transformation, open to hear what God is saying to each one of us. Even when we hear the old familiar passages of Scripture, let's have ears open to hear and hearts ready to respond. Now, I know some Sundays we're going to be more receptive than others. It's often hard to put aside all the chatter in our brain about the week that's gone, the week that's coming up. So just let the word of God wash over you and see if you can find just one thing that will sustain you during the week. I just want to put together some of the words from Psalm 1. It's just a beautiful, beautiful image. Perhaps something will come up in your mind. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Rest with these words and be encouraged. So reading passages from the Bible aloud in church services and preaching of the word is based directly on Jesus' own practice, on the Jewish tradition and the instructions of St. Paul. But I don't want to leave you with my words. I want to leave you with God's. And so I'm going to invite the congregation to read together the gospel reading we've had today. So if you're very kind and pick up your Bibles, it's on page 1031. And while you're finding your place, I just want to set the scene. I think it's really helpful to imagine yourself in the gospel reading. Jesus is 30 years old. He's been baptized in the Jordan. He's been in the wilderness. He's been tempted by the devil. And here he is. He's coming back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he's going to go into the synagogue. This is a moment when he begins his ministry. This is a moment when everything begins to happen. This is a really powerful moment. So I'd like to read. So before I begin, I'm going to start with a proclamation. Listen now to the gospel. Alleluia. It's God's words that changes us. Alleluia. Listen now to the gospel. Alleluia. It is God's word that changes us. Alleluia. He went to Nazareth. If you'd like to read with me. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.